You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so we are in the middle of a series on, I would say, the roles and responsibilities of the family of God, within the family of God, the body of Christ. To preface this series, I wanted to echo Paul's words to the Colossians, and I've said this last week, but he says this, Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. That's my goal. That is what I hope to do, not only for my family, but also for you, this church family, is to present you fully mature to Christ. To this end, I hope to communicate that Christianity, our relationship with Jesus Christ, is not purely a personal matter, though. Rather, it's something that is directly linked to the body of Christ. Remember, we have the cross on stage. We talked about how important relationships are, but not just any types of relationships. We're talking about, last week specifically, I made the argument that our relationships need to go deeper. We don't need to just be satisfied with the social aspect of our relationship. Social relationships are great. They're wonderful ways to connect, but it's the spiritual relationship that I think we need to be about here in this place, and not just in this building, but when we're with the body of Christ. You know, we've kind of lost the sense of urgency, haven't we? You know, people need to know God. There's urgency there. And what I would say is you read urgency in Scripture all the time, because it is key to be about the things of God if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, to be about these things. So we talked about exploring the spiritual in our relationships and really asking ourselves, how can we be about the things of God, making connections and relationships that go beyond similarities, beyond the common things we have? You know, this is where the community of God, this body of Christ here, should find its sweet spot. You know, this is where we should find our rhythm, is in that spiritual relationship. And so whenever you see the word you, Y-O-U, in Scripture, I would say, and I'm just going to say it, most of the time that's not about you individually. That is more of a collective you. Most of the time, it is a plural. So when he says your body is a temple, it's talking about you, but it's talking about the body of Christ. This is a temple. The body of Christ is a temple. Paul tells the Ephesians church in Ephesians 2, he says this. Look, he says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, talking about Gentiles, but you are citizens now with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, Jesus, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So you can think of it, maybe your life is a brick in the big building of God's kingdom, you know? You know, of course, today we like to put our name on the brick. It's not just, we're not satisfied with just a brick. We got to personalize the brick. But this body of Christ is a temple of God. This is the dwelling place of God. The building is not the church. I've said that before. Nor is this building a temple. We are God's church. We are his temple. And this is why the idea of communion, community, is so vitally important. You know, community, being fully present with one another. You know, when you're talking to someone, you're not scanning the room to see who else is more important. You're fully present with that person. You know, if we're paying attention, if we're looking for ways to meet one another's physical needs and financial needs and emotional needs, then there's going to be a moment when we can share spiritual needs as well. You know, because it's hard to preach the gospel to a hungry man. It's hard to preach the gospel to someone who is struggling. Or tell someone who's struggling that if they're trying to make ends meet, It's hard to tell them that, hey, life is about more than money. You know, if someone's struggling with sin and he's deep into sin, it's hard to tell them you're not alone, because in those moments you feel completely alone, unless you have built this relationship with them to let them know, listen, I'm not here to condemn you or to judge you. I am here to love you and to share the hope that is in me, the hope that I have in Christ Jesus, the one who came, saved, redeemed the world, and has offered hope for everyone. If they don't know that about you, then how are they going to listen? This is really hard, because see, this is where discipleship begins. It begins when people are ready to follow you towards the things of God. You know, we're commanded to go and make disciples. Matthew, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And I think maybe the reason we're not making disciples, as many as disciples as we want, is because we're trying to do it on a social level. It doesn't really work that way. Discipleship only happens on a spiritual level. Because I will tell you, I am not as cool as I seem. And there's only going to be so far you're going to walk with me until you realize, okay, you're kind of a dork. Thank you. That's the only amen I've gotten this month. It's discipleship happens on a spiritual level. How do we get there? I know it's not easy, but we're commissioned to do this. So that means that Jesus says, hey, you can do this. With the Holy Spirit, you can do this. We have the ability. We have gifts that we have been given, gifts to share. We have the ability to help or to hurt, to criticize or to encourage. We have the ability to build up or to tear down. Because we each have gifts that we bring to the table. Now, Peter talks about this. One of my favorite passages in 1 Peter 4. You know, Peter's one of those guys who gets right to the point. He doesn't have a whole lot of time for small talk. He says this in 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 7. I'm so sorry. He says this, the end of all things is near, urgency. Therefore, be serious, discipline yourself for the sake of your prayers. And above all, maintain constant love for one another. I love this. For love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. And like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Now, when we are brought into Christ, he gives us gifts. And these gifts are so good, he expects us to share them. Look at 2 Corinthians. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. But here's the problem. If we aren't sharing our gifts, then our gifts are useless. Now, next week, we're going to talk about gifts. We're going to get really dive into kind of what that means to use your gifts. But today, I wanted to talk about something a little bit more basic. Okay, I wanted to focus on this idea of sharing and giving what we have. Now, sharing is important in our house. I'm still teaching, and I'm actually still learning. We want to communicate our kids that whatever we've been given is never just for us. It's always to share. That's hard for me, because this past week, Shelly brought up the rest of my birthday cake to the staff office. I'll be honest, I was not ready to share the rest of the cake with the staff. And I may or may not have made a big deal about it. And I may or may have embarrassed myself a little bit. But honestly, the cake's incredible, you know. But what I'm learning is that I still have got a lot to learn about sharing. I mean, there was a moment when she actually put it in my office saying, okay, I'm so sorry. I'll put it in your office so we'll remember to take it home. I felt a little embarrassed. But we all have to be reminded of that, don't we? That we still need to share the gifts we have, even if we're tired, even if it may seem inconvenient. But in a community such as this here, sharing, I think, is what keeps us going. sharing with one another is what brings us back. It's what encourages and urges us on to do more. I tell you, I've seen so many stories about you sharing and giving, and it blows my mind at how you could do that just so casually. And it happens so much here. But sharing focuses us on our mission. It keeps us together on our way to heaven. You know, giving is highly important. Highly important. But if we have more people in our family who would rather receive than give, then everything kind of gets out of balance. So in Acts 20, Paul quotes this. In Acts 20, verse 35, he says, "Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, for he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" What I think is interesting is Paul, there's all these things Jesus said that we don't have recorded other than what Paul said. I don't think that's anywhere else in Scripture other than Paul said it. Paul says Jesus says this. I think that that's interesting. But Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so what we know is that giving was at the heart of who Jesus was because it's at the heart of who God is. And we've said this before. This is not new. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave. God is a giver. So with this in mind, how important sharing is, how important giving is, with this in mind, how should we approach the time when the body of Christ meets together? How do we prepare for it? So my friend in Houston, Rick Fife, the preaching minister at Southeast Church of Christ, says, he asked this question once. He says, so on Saturday night, how do you prepare for Sunday morning? How do you prepare for the time we're going to meet together with your family? How do you prepare for that on Saturday night? And I would have to say that the way back, there were certain times I was hoping I was just going to get in time to where I'd have enough sleep to make it on Sunday morning. And I will tell you that a lot of my life, I didn't even think about Sunday morning until the alarm rang on Sunday morning. How do you prepare for the meal we take together on Sunday morning? So you have these two tables behind us, and I wanted to share something that I think illustrates two ways that some people approach this church family. Not this one, but just church in general, this meal we take together. Okay, so I'll do this one first. You want to help me there, Ross? This one right here is a buffet table. Now, I wanted, thanks for Ross for putting this together. This is something you might see at a nice hotel. You know, maybe kind of, a lot of times it's really swanky, right? It's got white tablecloths, there's some flowers, and it's probably three or four times as long. Shelly and I went to San Francisco for our anniversary, and that's what we had at every hotel. It was fantastic. You know, I think a lot of times people, they tend to look at the Sunday meal together as if it were a buffet. You know, we come in, we greet our hostess. We claim our seat, we walk through the line, we pick and choose what courses we want. We'll have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Oh, we have a lot of this because that looks good. Really, our eyes are telling us what is most important here. And we look at the things that we want. The more, the better. More, the better. We take time and we pour over the selections. Our eyes are just, we're seeing it all, we're smelling it all. We fill our plate, we go back to the table. We usually eat alone, though. We don't really eat with anyone unless they come with us. What happens is in those buffet moments is what we rarely talk to anybody else. We eat our food, we drink our drink, we pay our bill, and then we leave. And we feel good about it. We feel full. We'll come back if the food's good. If it's not, maybe we'll go to another restaurant next week. After all, there's so many places to try. If this is not excellent, or exactly what we're hungry for, then we may never really come back. But in some buffets, you have people who are regulars. They go back to the same buffet every week. They may know the servers or the hosts. They still sit at the tables, and by themselves they leave when they've had enough. And as I'm thinking through this illustration, I'm thinking, have we ever had a buffet that was a meaningful experience? How many buffets can you remember? Now, I know that there are some buffets in Vegas that are unbelievable. Right? There's some buffets, and we've been to one, and that is an over-the-top experience. But for the most part, buffets aren't really about, buffets are about the food. Buffets are more about the choices. It's more about the options. It's more about, really, how much we can get. they're not really about how much we can give. It's about how much we can take. So some people, I think, approach church this way. Okay, the second one here is something that's probably more along the lines of what we're going to experience today. Thank you. This is a, let's just say potluck. This is really all we could think of. I think sometimes some people will approach church as if it were maybe a potluck. This meal we have together on Sunday morning, a potluck. Now, I've grown up going to potlucks. Family gatherings, church functions. In fact, my church, we would invent ministry in order to have a potluck meal afterwards. You know, let's save this, let's save that. I mean, they love potluck. There was one time where we had, and I'm not lying, our whole church, we had old-fashioned day, and everybody dressed in old-fashioned clothes and had a big old-fashioned potluck. I think if you put old-fashioned in front of anything, it's fun, right? Good old-fashioned potluck after church today. We loved potlucks. Potlucks are different than buffets. A potluck is communal. It's participatory. You know, if everyone approached a potluck as if they were approaching a buffet, then, well, there wouldn't be any food. See, potlucks are giving events. We all bring our best. We bring the dish that we're proud of. And when you approach the food, this is what's interesting. When you approach the food, yes, there are just as many selections, and I would say some of those selections rival any buffet I've ever seen. But there's one marked difference in this, is that the food, it's not just food. You know, each dish represents a person, a family. A buffet, you can criticize and complain about if things are just aren't right, or because the buffet isn't all about the presentation, you know, making sure that there's enough. You can criticize the dishes at a buffet, but it's hard to criticize the dishes at a potluck, at least not out loud. So I'll tell the story of myself. A few weeks ago when we had a potluck, I think it was the last one we had, I went to the dessert table, as I always do, and I get a multiple sampling of things because I know Betty McGurk's, I got to go there first because her pie is going to be gone. So I got to get a little bit of hers, and I got to get, so I had a sampling. And I'm sitting there with Shelly and Mindy Stewart, and we're talking, and I'm like, yeah, this is good, but this is really not so good right here. Shelly says, what? I said, this was not so good right there. And she goes, oh, so they keep talking. And I'm still eating, and then a little bit later I said, yeah, this is good, and this is good, but this one I do not like. Shelly says, Scott, Mindy made that. And Mindy's this far from me. How do you get out of that? Well, it's not the whole thing I don't like. It's just the, this is that moment right then. It was this the moment. I was reminded how personal each dish is. It's personal. Mindy made that, and it was, I would have to say, if I tried it again, I'd probably really love it. Maybe afterwards today I can see it's still embarrassing. I wasn't critiquing the cake, I was critiquing Mindy. See, potlucks aren't about the presentation. They're not about the fine dining experience. It's not about the food, it's about the body of Christ, each person bringing his best. And when you meet together to bring your very best, to give to each other, this is church. And when you sit down to a meal that you've all given to, it's sacred space here. Now, realistically, there are some moments when people don't have enough to give. They come because, you know what? They come empty because they have nothing to give. They are looking for that. And you know what happens at potlucks? This is why some people make more than one dish. You have often people just very silently make two or three dishes and they'll bring them because they know there's going to be people who are brand new or guests or people who just haven't brought. And it's okay. At a potluck, you're welcome. Everyone's welcome. I didn't really plan to do this today, the same day we're having a potluck after church, but we do. And if you didn't prepare anything, there's Tom Thumb right down the street, 1 minute away. But the focus is not on the food, it's being together as the body of Christ here. These are two starkly different ideas of how we can approach church. How we can approach the meal we take together each and every Sunday. You know, buffets are all about presentation, and if we don't like it or see with or like what we see, or if we aren't happy with somehow with the way things are presented, then why stay at a buffet? You can just get up and go somewhere else. And there's always a newer, better, nicer buffet somewhere. But you rarely hear someone storm out of a potluck because the food wasn't good. So today, we have found ourselves on the corner of give and take. Two different directions we could go. And I'm going to ask you, how do you prepare yourself for the meal we take on Sunday? How do you approach the body of Christ? Are you bringing your gifts? Even if you don't have much to give, are you bringing anything? If you're here to give, then it changes where we place our attention, doesn't it? When it comes to giving, some things, they don't matter as much when you're coming to give. Preachers who say the things we don't like, well, I know him. I know he's not a heretic. I love the guy, or I appreciate him. I'm here to give and encourage and help him. The song servant isn't exactly what we want. Well, we know Ross. We know he's got a good heart, and you know what? He loves to worship. How great is that? If someone says something you don't appreciate or that it kind of offends you, you know what? You're not just going to get mad and storm out, whether it's in, you know, just a personal conversation or class or in church. You know what? You know that person. It's a potluck. Sometimes things taste sour. I mean, shouldn't we be more interested in encouraging others and coming to lift and build each other up? You know, the author of Hebrews says this. Oh, didn't say that. That's pictures. Buffet. Author of Hebrews says this, "Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more urgency as you see the day approaching." We've come to another set of crossroads here. This one is a little bit more difficult to choose between. But I'm going to encourage you, come bringing your gifts. No matter how small you think it is going to be good for the family. But come to give. Be fully present. Because the gifts you give to this family, you're not just giving to this family. You're giving these gifts to God. So my encouragement to you is to come, participate, share. And when you take this direction, you might just find the path is clearer. You might just find that the way is brighter. The destination, it is more visible than ever. How will you respond?
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.